Well, good morning, New Hope. It is good to be with you as we get the opportunity to continue to walk through the Lord's Prayer. We are in week 5 of the series, and I'm so thankful that you decided to join us this week as we continue to explore the truths of Matthew 6, verse 9. And I'm going to begin the message how the last few weeks have begun with the reading of the Lord's Prayer. And I don't want Adam to find out that I didn't do it the way he did it. So I'm going to go ahead and keep in that. And so we're going to read Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9. And this is where this series has been rooted since the beginning. It says this: "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." If you haven't been with us, we've been going through this prayer line by line, statement by statement. And the message this week is rooted in verse number 11, which says, "Give us today our daily bread." And if you're wondering, what is the title of the message this week? Give us today our daily bread. You can go ahead and write that down. And we're going to begin this message today by us taking a reminder of the daily bread that has been given and provided to us through the Lord's Supper. So if you have not gotten the elements, we have some family in the audience that would love to give you the elements, because I can't think of a better way to begin talking about "Give us today our daily bread" than going back and revisiting how Jesus provided us with that living bread, with that living water, with that bread and that meal that sustains. And so I feel like we need to start in the best place, and that is by taking the Lord's Supper together. In John chapter 6, after Jesus has just fed thousands of people with not very much, he says this, which will kind of give us direction for today. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" So if you will, go ahead and get your elements. And today we remember well the body that was broken on our behalf. Take and eat. And we also remember well the blood that was poured out on our behalf, and we'll drink this in remembrance. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your body being broken and your blood being shed so that you could provide a way where there was no way. Jesus, thank you that you loved us enough to surrender your life as a ransom to win us back and to pay our debt. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you do. And Lord, I pray that today we will remember well the meal that you provided, the meal that only not sustains us, but also heals us, the meal that has brought us from death to life, the meal that allows us to walk differently, to love differently, and to be different because of it. And so Jesus, as we remember that well, may we walk well in light of it. So Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your awesome and amazing name, amen. If you have your Bibles or whatever it is you read God's word from, go ahead and turn or tap to Exodus chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16. We're gonna get a beautiful glimpse of how the Lord provides the best meal through reading Exodus 16. And it's an amazing story. God has just freed his people, the Israelites, from captivity from the most powerful nation at the time, the Egyptians. And he did some amazing things. He brought many plagues on them because of the stubbornness of Pharaoh. And then finally, as he's leading these people to the land he has promised, he allows them to walk on dry ground to freedom. And every step of the way, God has been providing. Every step of the way, God's been showing. And as you think about this story, I think oftentimes we think, man, that was a pretty big deal that God was able to free them from the hand of the Egyptians. But if we're honest, that wasn't very difficult for God to do. He's God. But I think the harder task at hand was not freeing them from Egypt, but freeing them from the slave mentality and the slave posture that they had. See, they didn't know how to be a free people. And so God was going to take intentional steps in order to teach them what it means to be free. And if we're being honest, and hopefully you, when you think of church, you think of being honest. If we're being honest, that's very similar to us because, see, many of us have been freed, but yet many of us are still walking around with shackles that are unlocked saying this is what defines us. That is not who you are anymore. And we all are in process of learning what it truly means to be free. And if we're honest with each other, we're also guilty of running to lesser things when God has offered us the best thing. And if you're anything like me, I'm really quick to judge the Israelites. Amen. I mean, how often as we're reading their story do we go, them Israelites? How often when we see them and God just told them to do something, and yet it's like they forget immediately and they run back to doing it the same old broke down way that they used to do it. And we go, man, bless their hearts. But here's the great thing about God's word. It serves as a mirror so we can see ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are very similar to the Israelites. And you might be going, Nick, you don't know me. I don't have to know you because I know me. And I know how often I look at this and I go, ooh, how many times have I heard the goodness of God and seen the goodness of God and then questioned if he's going to be good again immediately? How many times have I seen him move? Have I seen the pains of the shackles of sin? But yet, I still go run back to the same old thing. How many times does the Lord have to tell me what is true, what is right, and invite me to walk towards those things, but I choose to still walk towards lesser things? And so we get a glimpse of the Israelites, but we also get a glimpse of ourselves. And so Moses and Aaron have just led them from walking through a sea on dry ground. And you're not going to believe this, but the Israelites are going to find something to complain about. We're going to pick up the story in Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. Let's pause. We know nothing good is about to happen. You hanging out in the desert of Sin? Yep, that's probably going to define it. Which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Let's pause. Remember what these people have just walked from. They have just been walked from hundreds of years of slavery. They have just walked from God providing in ways that were amazing and audacious. They had just walked through a sea, y'all. Y'all know what a sea is, you know, a body of water, full of water. Whoa, sea, right? On dry ground. God split it in two and said, all right, Israelites. And they're like, oh yeah, we walking, we doing it. And yet they get to the other side of God's provision, and yet they begin to grumble and complain. And if we're not careful, we're like, Let's be real for a second. How many times have we sat in church hearing an amazing word? We lift our hands, we worship the King, and yet we get to a restaurant and all of a sudden all that we have learned just goes out the window because they didn't refill our water fast enough. Let's just be real. It's easy to look at this and go, man, how could you? But if we are really honest with ourselves, how often do we go from celebrating the provision of God to complaining about it? The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. So dramatic. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Oh my goodness. See, these people are hungry. And may I give you a few observations that I learned from people being hungry? Some of y'all, I think, call it hanger. And just to be real with you, growing up in my house, there was no such thing as hanger. Let me tell you why. Because if like you were hungry, you just wait till the next meal and you don't complain about it. That was my house. Maybe your house is different. But I remember growing up thinking to myself, I'm just going to keep that to myself. But let me tell you what the Israelites are not going to do. They're not going to keep that to themselves. They're letting Aaron and Moses know that they are hungry. Here's the first observation from hunger. Number one, when we are hungry, we don't see things clearly. When we are hungry, we do not see things clearly. We don't see them as they actually are. We see them as we believe they are. And we walk around with this offline perspective because we're hungry. These are the Israelites. They are hungry, so they can't see the provision. They can't see how God showed up and showed out. They can't see all the ways that God has been providing for them, even though they're not worthy, but yet God has still been gracious, and they can't see it because their hunger is disturbing and throwing off their view. The other thing I observed about hunger is this. When we are hungry, we will settle for lesser things. When we are hungry, we will settle for lesser things. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever been to the grocery store when you hungry? You just be walking around a grocery store be like, you know, I've never thought that those Vienna sausages looked good, but today, I think they might be just the thing that I need. And you're walking around and you're hungry, and so your perspective is off, and so you will settle for lesser things. I'm going to tell on myself. When I'm hungry and I'm walking in the aisles of the grocery store, there are some things for me that stand out that normally don't stand out. One of those is Easy Cheese. Don't judge me. You all got stuff. We are all in process, y'all. But so when I'm hungry, I'm like, you know what really sounds good? Is a Triscuit and some Easy Cheese. Praise God. And here's the other thing. You kind of go back to default setting. Like, I'm like, I haven't been in college for years, but yet I'm like, Easy Cheese and Triscuits. Yes, Lord. And not only that, don't let me be driving by myself at nighttime when I'm hungry. And let me, like, I feel like we're just going to tell it all today. Okay, so here's the deal. There's some restaurants that I have learned that once you reach 40, you should never go back to because it don't love you back. And one of those places for me, but when I'm hungry and I'm by myself and I don't have accountability, Taco Bell. It is. It is. Some of y'all know you're like, preach, pastor. Yes. You should listen. I don't. It's like I'm late and I see it. It's like the neon lights calling my name. It's like a moth to a flame, y'all. I'm like, yes, yes. I will take a Mexican pizza. I will take a cheese and gordita crunch, and give me some of them cinnamon twists. Yes, Lord. We will do it when we are hungry. We will settle for lesser things. But let's get real. When we're not dining on God and His word and His provision, we will do that in life. If I might get in your business for just a moment, as I haven't been, for some of you in your dating relationships, you're going, Lord, I've been waiting. I've been waiting and I've been trying to do this right, but I'm hungry. So I will settle for whatever comes my way. And then we are disappointed and let down by the fact that we went towards lesser things and it did not satisfy. And y'all, I could use that example in so many different areas of our lives. How often when we're hungry, we will settle for lesser things when God has invited you to enjoy greater things, Himself. He's invited us to dine at his table, not at a lesser table, but his table. But when we are hungry, we are so willing to be satisfied with lesser things. And then we'll complain that it did not satisfy. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Let's pause for just a second. There are so many times when I'm reading God's word that I'm reminded of what I am not. And I'm reminded of who he is. These Israelites have just been freed from captivity for hundreds of years. They have walked through the sea on dry ground. God has provided time and time again. And then they have the audacity to complain and grumble. And what does God do in the next verse, in verse 4? He doesn't strike them with lightning. He's like, I'm done with you people. No, what does he do? He offers them grace and a meal. How good is our God? He does not give us what we deserve. He gives us something far greater. That is mercy. And you read this and you go, man, God, if that was me, I wouldn't have responded in that way. And you might be thinking to yourself, Nick, I'm further along in my sanctification process. But if you're a parent in here and your kids have complained about something that they didn't put any money into, they just over there just taking and receiving, right? And then they have the audacity when you put something in front of them, not that my kids do that, they're perfect, but then they have the audacity for food that they did not pay for or help cook to complain. Some of y'all just got mad right then. Right? Like, think about that. Like, God had just done more than enough. And what do they do? What is this? What are you doing? Do you remember when we were in slavery where we at least had a meal? And how does God respond? I'm going to provide for you. I am going to provide for you. Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. See, God in his grace is offering them a meal they do not deserve. God in his grace is meeting them where they are. Why? Because he is kind. And not only that, he's like, I'm gonna provide the meal, but I'm also gonna let you play a part in the meal. I don't need your help, but I'll provide it. And all I'm inviting you to do is play a part and to go get it. All he is saying to them is, hey, bring your plate to the buffet. Bring your plate and you can eat all that you want, but you're gonna play a part in this. I'm inviting you to play a part. And there were those in that company. They did not have to go eat the meal. That's what I love about Jesus, y'all. He is not going to force himself upon you. He has offered his life. He has paid your debt, but he is not going to force you to accept it. He goes, here I am. You can have it all if you so choose to dine. Verse 9. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. What I love about that little verse right there is they were in a dry and weary land, but yet the Lord showed up in the midst of it. And so maybe right now you're going, God, do you see me? God, do you hear me? Because I find myself in the midst of a desert. He has not left you alone. He is up to something. He is up to something. Verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Listen, when God repeats himself, we got to pay attention. It's like God's going, listen, I want you to know that I'm hearing your grumbling. I'm not going to respond the way you think I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond with goodness and grace and mercy, but come at me again. Like, I want you to know, I hear your grumbling. I see your posture. I understand. This is the equivalent is when your mama would say, say it one more time. Say it one more time. And for some of us, we're like, maybe I should say it one. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I love that the Lord is reminding them of how he is giving them grace when they don't deserve it. God's going, I've done everything for you. I've provided in every single way, but yet you're grumbling and complaining, and I am still going to be good even when you are not. Because my goodness isn't based off your obedience. I am basing this goodness off of me being good. But hear me. I hear you, and I see you. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with the bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? That's what they call manna. They're like, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Look, I love that God gives them exactly what they need. If it was true yesterday, it's true today. God will give you exactly, hear me, what you need, not what you want. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. I think that's very clear. Would y'all agree with that? Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Here's what's so interesting. Like, I read that and I'll be like, yo, verse 19, Moses just said it. Very clear. I'm sure he articulated well. Hey, don't save any. God's got it. Then, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. Isn't that true of our disobedience? God goes, hey, I'm inviting you to something better. I'm inviting you into something that's best. And we go, thank you for that. But I think I'm going to just hold on to what I want to hold on to. I think I'm going to do it my way. And then we have the audacity to be surprised when it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out. Like, God, I know you told me to do it a different way, but I did it my way, and now it's all jacked up. Like, Lord, what is going on? And then sometimes, this is probably not you, but this is me, I'm mad at God. Well, God, how dare you put the maggots in it smelly? What's you doing? And God goes, I'm not doing nothing. I told you to do it this way. I invited you to walk with me, and now you're complaining to me about your disobedience when I was very clear at the expectation. I told you what was best, and you chose less than best, and now you are getting less than best results and things. You can be led to the best meal, but you don't have to eat it. You can be led to God's best, but he gives you free will and choice. You don't have to eat it. God has provided this meal. He has provided, and it's good. He's got everything you need. He's got a carb and a protein, y'all. He's got everything you need. Just the right amount of what you need. Everything is perfect, but yet They chose to do it. Some of them chose to do it their own way. And maybe it was because they were walking out of slavery, so they still had a depraved posture. Where if I don't hold on to it, then it won't be provided. Maybe for them, they were still caught in this cycle of thinking that they had less than and that God wouldn't be good. But yet God keeps showing them, hey, you can trust me. Hey, you can trust me. Hey, you can trust me. But yet they were unwilling to do it. God was reminding them about his goodness. God was reminding them about his provision. But yet they chose less than instead of best than. And you've seen this play out. We've had the privilege of raising three beautiful kids, y'all. And it was funny, you know, as we have watched them grow up, we have seen their palate change. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, let me give you this example. My wife will be making something wonderful. Let's just think about Thanksgiving meal, y'all, right? You've got the sweet potato casserole, praise his name. You've got the cornbread dressing, preach. You've got the honey baked ham, yes you do, come on. And she will be in the kitchen, she will be doing all the things she's providing, she's cooking up, and I'm excited. I'm like, y'all sit down, mama did it for y'all. She did it. And then you'll serve it up on their plate. You're like, oh, this is gonna be good eating. This is gonna be the best of the best. I've got something good for you. And y'all not gonna believe what happens. These beautiful kids that we provided for will look at that gourmet meal and be like, I don't like it. And you try to use some rational thought. You've never had it. I don't like it. And y'all, that sweet potato casserole will be just dripping with butter and brown sugar and goodness all bubbly and hot. And you're like, oh, you're gonna be blessed. And like, no, not today, devil, no. Mm-mm. And they'll look at you and they'll be like, do you have McDonald's chicken nuggets? At least we think it's chicken. And you're like, wait, why would you want McDonald's chicken nuggets when you have been provided the best of the best? This smoked turkey, this honey-baked ham, this cornbread dressing, homemade biscuits. Like, why would you want something less than when you are being offered something that's amazing and great? But yet from their perspective, they've just gotten accustomed to having less than. And so when better than is offered, they don't know what to do with it. They keep it at arm's distance and going, listen, I'm used to what I'm used to. I know that it's maybe not the best, but it's what I'm used to. And so they will want what they've always had when God has given something they've never had that will be better, but they can't receive it because they are so confused and thrown off by the fact that they kept eating the less than. And guys, I'm not just talking about food. See, so often we will tell God, hey, God, I know what your best is, but let me tell you how I'm going to compromise on best. Lord, I hear what you were saying, but God, I'm going to do it my way and I won't get all that you have for me and I might complain about it later, but God, I don't want that because maybe it's too costly to do it your way. Maybe it will force you to do something that you've never done before. And here's what's true. If you keep doing what you've always done, you keep getting what you've always gotten. Y'all can unpack that later. But yet God is inviting the Israelites and he's inviting us to something better, but yet we don't have any idea what a gourmet meal is. So we will settle for what's fast, convenient, and bland of taste and flavor. Because that is what we have grown accustomed to. Maybe today is the day where we trust the King and we allow him to feed us the better meal, a meal that's sustaining, a meal that's good, a meal that is best, and stop compromising for what's convenient. Verse 21. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left and keep it until morning, verse 24. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Guys, when it's God's way, it's the best way. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord, meaning you're going to rest and see that I'm still able to provide. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Here we go, verse 27. Are y'all ready? Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. Let this serve as a reminder from the way that some of these Israelites tried to navigate. The king is faithful to provide. But I think I need to add this caveat, in his timing. In his timing. Guys, this is a thing I don't like, but I keep telling him I don't like it, and he doesn't seem to care. God's never in a rush. His timing is perfect and impeccable. The king provides a sustaining meal as well as a healing meal. What do I mean by that? He provided for their hunger in the moment, but he also provides for what they really needed was a change of heart and mind. What God was doing on this journey with the Israelites is showing them that he was trustworthy, was showing them that they no longer had shackles, to show them that he was the one that gave them freedom. And he was changing their mindset, their heart, and their pace to trust him and to walk as a free people. He was training them of how to walk differently. And for some of us, we go, Lord, but that's hard. God, I've always done it this way. God, this is who I used to be. Let me just tell you, they were no longer defined by their shackles. They were defined by their king. And that is true for us as well. We're not defined by our shackles, but we are defined by the king who has set us free, and we are free indeed. Verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made from honey. That does sound good. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. Moses is saying, remember. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come so that you can remember. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Then a reminder, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. We must remember that the good chef serves the best meal. So what does it look like today to eat this meal that he has offered and to remember well who we are and whose we are? Number one is this. We must partake in the appetizer as a remembrance of Jesus. Let's say it again. We must partake in the appetizer as a remembrance of Jesus. Just so you know, all of these are going to be themed after parts of a meal. Just so you know, I was pretty proud of that. We must partake in the appetizer as a remembrance of Jesus. Why? Because you and I are a forgetful people. We are a forgetful people. We often forget what we should remember, and we often remember what we should forget. That is how we navigate, but we have to remember well the faithfulness of our king. We have to remember well of what he did on the cross. We have to remember well that the tomb is not have a body in it anymore. He got up. The tomb is empty. We have to remember this well, because if we don't remember well, we'll walk in the same ways we used to walk. We have to partake in the appetizer as a remembrance of Jesus, we got to remember well. We're not going to be a people that come and gather together and sing songs of God's faithfulness and how he's good and how we're called to more and then walk out of here and forget once we get to a table where someone's serving us and they forget to fill up our cup and we're mad. That's not what we're doing. We're going to remember well that people are in process and we have been called to be lights in a crooked and depraved generation. And that doesn't just mean when we're at church. It means wherever we are. Even if they don't fill up the bread basket. Even if someone cuts you off in traffic, you're going to be fine. You're going to be 12 seconds later than you would have been if they didn't cut you off. And also, you've cut plenty of people off. I've seen some of y'all drive. So how about we remember well, and also remember that our responses and the way we walk is not based on others, it's based on our King. The example that we fix our eyes on is not how other people are behaving around you. It's not how other people have treated you. Our example, and is always our example, is Jesus himself. And I find out when I remember well about Jesus that then I walk differently. Number two. We must digest the main course of the Word of God. So often when I'm in conversations and even for myself, people will be like, I just need the Lord to just show me what I'm supposed to do. Like if I was to go outside and there was manna from heaven, then I would listen to the Lord. Can I just tell you something? No, you wouldn't. And that might feel a little bit bold for me to say that, but no, you wouldn't. How many stories in God's word do you have to read about how he provided, how he showed up, how he done it for us to listen? How often do we have to go, God, I'm really praying about something, which prayer is great. It's one of our points. But God, I really want to hear about what I should do in this, but yet we haven't gone to the word of God to see what he has to say about it. Because we have been given directions. And it's God's word. We have seen the revelation of who he is and what he does. We have seen to what extent he was willing to go for on our behalf. We've seen it. And now we're living a day and age where if you can't read it, then you can listen to it. And we have this amazing ability, no matter where we are, to have it with us on our phone. There is no excuse to not read the word of God and chew on it. Hear me, if I feel passionate about it, I am. I am, and here's the deal. If you're only eating of the word of God once a week, you're starving. You are starving. And you are not just called to take me and Adam's word for it. Go read the word yourself. You have the person of the Holy Spirit within you to give you wisdom and discernment. Lord, what am I supposed to do with that? Lord, how do I walk that out? We must digest the main course of the word of God. Number three. We must eat the side course of prayer. And maybe for you, you're going, hey, Nick, I don't know how to pray. The last 5 weeks, we heard the questions that the disciples asked Jesus. Jesus, teach us how to pray. So for the last 5 weeks, you know what we have been doing? It's walking slowly through the Lord's Prayer. Why? So that we know how to pray. And so if you don't know where to start, start with that. Start with that. Our Father, who art in heaven, we recognize where you are and where we are not. Hallowed be thy name. You are set apart. You are different. You are holy. Like, start there. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. God, I want wherever I am to be an intersection of heaven here on earth. Everywhere I am and everywhere I go, I want to turn the temperature 1 degree towards the temperature of heaven. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Lord, I need your word. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance right here and right now. And then tomorrow, and next week, I don't like this, what we're going to talk about, but we got to talk about. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, let me remember well that I've been forgiven much so I can forgive much. Just a small preview, y'all. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I want to walk in your ways, not my own ways, because I know my ways lead to evil. I know my ways lead to less than. Number four, we must drink from the well of servanthood. You might be going, Nick, why would we do that? Because that's what Jesus did. He did not come to be served, but to speak with some bass in your voice. He did not come to be served, but to serve. So we get to go and do likewise. We get to go and do likewise. You might be going, well, I don't know where to start. Y'all, we got plenty of pastors here on staff that would love to help you. All you got to do is, my yes is on the table. How can I serve? Also, there are neighbors around you. Opportunity to serve. There's people who sit around your table and eat your food, your family. Serve them. We have opportunities all around us, and we drink from that cup of servanthood because Jesus did as well. Last, we must save room for the sweet dessert of community. We must save room for the sweet dessert of community. And I know what some of y'all are thinking. I get it. But Nick, I'm an introvert. I don't like humans. I hear that, y'all. I hear you. But in the most kindest way I can tell you, you need others around you to sharpen you to become what God is calling you to become, and you cannot do that alone. You cannot do that alone. Yes, the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you and bringing to mind new steps you need to take. But listen, let me tell you the beauty of God. He allows his people to be used as those tools to shape us into his image. We need each other. We need each other. There are so many opportunities to step into community. God is inviting you to step into community. Won't you accept his invitation? And I'll also get there some reservations, because some of y'all were like, this one time 49 years ago, I stepped into community and I did not like it. Guys, I hear that. I hear that. I do. And I'm praying for you on your journey. But hear me, just because it didn't go well last time doesn't mean it's indicative of this time. And you guys already are able to provide grace for those times where it had fallen short. Let me give you an example. Think about your favorite restaurants. Think about the time where you might didn't have great service, or maybe the food was a little bit off. You win again. Not often do we go, that one time when I went to the Sizzler. Don't judge, y'all just ask someone older, they'll tell you. Like, we typically don't go, well, I will never go back to that place. Why? Because we knew what they were providing was something that we needed or we wanted. So I hear you, but listen, let's extend grace and forgiveness. And go, just because last time it did not go well doesn't mean that's indicative of this time. And lastly, as a reminder of the meal that the Lord provided for us, and it's sustaining, it is healing, and it changes us, and it answered the biggest need we have. Luke 22, verse 17 says this. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19. And he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Maybe you're sitting in this place or watching online, and you have never said yes to the meal. You've never said yes to the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross and him overcoming the grave through his resurrection. Maybe you've never said yes. That's the first meal you need to eat of. And maybe, just maybe, you are someone who's accepted that meal, but you have not been dining on his provision every single day. Today is the day where you can walk differently. Maybe for some of you, as we took the Lord's Supper here a little bit ago, maybe this is a reminder for you tomorrow. You put this someplace where you'll see it and go, remember to eat. Remember to eat. If you would, let's stand to our feet and let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the meal you have provided. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you that you would provide for us a meal that changes everything for us. Lord, it's a sustaining meal and it's a healing meal. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you've offered us something that will truly, truly satisfy. May we come to the table and eat. Jesus, thank you that you love us in spite of ourselves. And Lord, may we be a people that are better able to partake in your meal. The more we eat of it, the more we want. So Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your awesome and amazing name. And all God's people said, amen.